Senate Republicans and the White House are trying to find agreement on a new pandemic relief bill. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishour, in for David Brancaccio, who's on assignment. As that extra $600 from the federal government in weekly unemployment benefits comes to an end this month, there is pressure on lawmakers to renew some form of coronavirus economic relief. But there are fresh signs of fissures between Republicans in Congress and the White House over what that next round of aid should look like. Marketplace's Nova Sappho has more.
Congressional Republicans want to spend $1 trillion in additional pandemic relief. The sticking point between lawmakers and the Trump administration is over how that money is spent. The White House is criticizing the allocation of an additional $25 billion for testing, and President Trump wants to cut the payroll tax, the money from workers' paychecks that goes to Social Security and Medicare. That's something lawmakers of both parties have criticized as unhelpful for the millions of Americans who are unemployed. Another sticking point is money for schools and universities. Democrats don't want funding conditioned on campuses reopening. The Democratic-controlled House passed its own $3 trillion relief bill last month, which would extend the $600 weekly federal unemployment benefit. But Senate Republicans want a smaller weekly amount after July over concerns the current amount is disincentivizing some workers from returning to their jobs. I'm Nova Sappho for Marketplace.
The pandemic is obviously changing what American life looks like. It's also changing what American cities look like. Thousands of people have left New York due to COVID-19, leaving vacancies in their wake. What will that mean for the city's notoriously high rents? Marketplace's Jasmine Garst reports.
Thousands of New Yorkers have left the city since March thanks to the pandemic. So there are a lot of empty spaces.
There is a lower number of renters, at least until the crisis is over.
That's Jonathan Miller, the author of a new report by the brokerage firm Douglas Elliman. It shows that with demand down, rents are already starting to decline by 6.6% in Manhattan compared to June of last year. And Columbia University professor Stan Van Nieuwenberg says if federal pandemic benefits expire, we're likely to see a wave of evictions.
There's been fairly generous unemployment insurance with the $600 per week top-ups, which are about to expire in the next several days, leading to some sort of like fiscal cliff for a lot of households.
He says right now, some landlords are letting tenants live in their apartments for free rather than evict them or lower their rents. Because if landlords lowered their rents, it could make it difficult for them to refinance their mortgages. I'm Jasmine Garst for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.6%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are also up in the 7-9% range, with the Dow future up 177 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 0.63% this morning.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
There are nearly 200 coronavirus vaccines in some form of development around the world. When one or more of those vaccines hopefully pan out, who is going to get them? Which countries are going to get them first? Gavi, the Vaccine Alliance, is a public-private partnership that helps distribute vaccines to developing countries affordably. It's helping to set up a form of insurance policy for coronavirus, where multiple countries pay for multiple lines of vaccine research. And when and if some vaccines work out, then every participating country gets a guaranteed number of doses. The idea is to avoid a situation where vaccines simply go to the richest international bidder. Gavi's CEO is Seth Berkley. Dr. Berkley, thanks for joining me. Good morning.
Good morning.
Assuming we get a vaccine, there's not at first going to be enough for everybody. How are you thinking about that scenario?
So what we've tried to do is to basically say, what percentage of the population would need to be vaccinated to dampen the epidemic acutely. And we believe that's on average about 20%. That would allow you to cover every healthcare worker. That would allow you to go ahead and start working in your high risk groups, whether they be the elderly or people with comorbidities. It would also be an opportunity to look at high risk transmission settings, let's say like people working in nursing homes or meatpacking plants or in developing countries, refugee camps. So the solution then would be to try to get that 20% for every country versus what we're currently hearing about, which is a small number of countries trying to get 100% vaccination available, which would mean a few countries would have access and most would have none. And that's not a very efficient way to end a global pandemic.
Gavi is developing what has been described as an insurance policy for a corona vaccine. Can you describe how that would work?
So the idea, of course, is that many countries are doing bilateral deals with manufacturers. And if they're lucky, those vaccines will work. But even if they've invested in multiple vaccines, they may not be successful. This has been described as an insurance policy because the idea would be to have a large number of manufacturers, somewhere between 12 and 15 different approaches that would be moving forward, which would maximize the chance of success.
You wrote that when it comes to coronavirus, nobody wins unless everyone wins. What do you mean?
Well, I think the challenge here is there is an assumption that if I can just get enough vaccine for my country, my populations, I'm fine. But of course, as people have continued to move around, we've seen the virus move as well. So if you want to go back to normal, what you've got to have is a situation where you've really suppressed the disease around the world. And that's going to be critical if we ever want to go back to having trade, commerce, tourism, and movements around the world.
Dr. Seth Berkley is the CEO of the Vaccine Alliance. Gavi, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Our producers are Rose Conlon, Victoria Craig, Meredith Gerritsen, Candice Manriquez-Wren, Daniel Shin, and Erica Soderstrom. And I am Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.